encouraging message this morning that I hope will be a help to you. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Bible says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." The Bible frequently describes God as a rock. That's because God is this strong fortress that will never falter, will never crumble. That's because true safety and true security exist only in the Lord. God is the one who provides a steady, firm foundation under our ever-changing world. Right? We're living in a world that's constantly moving about. What we knew was right yesteryear is completely wrong today. But God never changes. And His Word never changes. And His promises never fail. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
His promises are a foundation that we can bank our lives on. That's why Jesus asked in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, He gave the illustration of a wise man and a foolish man. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand. He was not obedient to the Lord's commands. But the wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rock represents the Lord's commands, His promises, His word. It's a foundation for us. This morning, I want us to consider how the Lord is like a rock, but like a particular rock. I want us to consider this morning how the Lord is like a diamond. He's like a diamond. Strictly speaking, a diamond is a mineral, a precious stone, a valuable stone. But we can certainly say that God is precious to us. Is He precious to you this morning?
Amen.
I hope so. He ought to be precious to you. We ought to, as Christians, never lose the wonder and awe and majesty of who our God is. When I was in Bible college, Temple Baptist Church, they would always sing, "I have never lost the wonder of it all. Since the day that Jesus saved me and the brand new life He gave me, I have never lost the wonder of it all." Have you ever lost the wonder? I hope not. Sometimes we have the new believers that are stirred up and excited, and then they get around us who've been saved for a long time. We douse their fire because we're kind of used to this being saved stuff. And, going to church, reading the Bible, I guess, it's okay. Hey, it's amazing. The Christian life is great. The Lord is incredible. And we rejoice in Him this morning. He's precious to us. So don't ever let the wonder of God grow old. So, perhaps you're familiar with how we rate diamonds. I remember when I was proposing to my wife, and I followed the tradition of, buying an engagement ring with diamonds in it. And I learned all about that stuff.
Yep.
Learned all about the price, too. But there's four C's when it comes to a diamond.
Clarity.
Cut. Color and carat weight. See, the ladies already know this.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, there wasn't a course, they just automatically know this. Amazing to me. But you also know there are false diamonds out there. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with them, but they're presenting themselves to be diamonds, but they're false diamonds. You know the old saying, not all that glitters is gold. And sometimes looks can be deceiving. Sometimes the appearance of something appears to be precious and valuable and good, when in fact it's worthless.
Yeah.
It's not valuable. It's not good. It's false. And so maybe you've heard of cubic zirconia.
Yes.
Again, there's no shame in cubic zirconia. It's okay. But it's a diamond simulant. It passes off as a diamond. So the untrained eye possesses all of the characteristics of a diamond, but when you examine it under close inspection, it is not a diamond. It does not have the clarity of a diamond. And when you test it, when you put it under intense heat and intense pressure like they do to diamonds, the cubic zirconia will shatter, but the diamond will stay intact. So this morning, I want us to consider the four C's of God. If we're going to talk about God being a diamond, and I think it's a good point now for us to stop, and let's pray, ask the Lord to help us to consider how precious our Lord is this morning. Let's pray. Father, help us as we study this important truth today to guide us, direct us, lead us by Your Spirit. Lord, help us to see that you're our rock, you're our foundation. Help us to see all that you do for us and how precious and wonderful you are as our God. Lord, would you exalt your name in our midst today, we ask in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, there are false diamonds, there are false gods too. There are false gods all over this world that are trying to present themselves as that which you should trust in and put your life upon and depend on to find peace and satisfaction. They seem to be perfect substitutes for God for a moment. Wealth. Some people, that's their God, and it seems to make them happy. I have everything I could ever want. Why do I need God? You know, some people live that way. You know, you go soul winning, you talk to people, and you say, why don't you go down to the Bowery, go down to the gutter? They need the Lord. I'm fine. I'm good. What do they mean? Mm-hmm. I live in Nassau County. Mm-hmm. I'm successful. I have a house. I have a nice car in the yard. I don't need God. I don't need any change in my life. Isn't that so sad? Yeah. But they're false gods. Yeah. Some people live for the praise of men, trying to please other people, and that's their substitute for the true God. Some people live for worldly entertainments, worldly pleasures. But when you put all of these things to the test, they shatter. They're not a firm foundation for your life. And so we can say not all that glitters is gold, but not all that glitters is God. He alone possesses perfect clarity, holiness, like a perfect diamond. Again, I want us to consider God's four C's, because he's more perfect than any earthly diamond. And by the way, when talking about jewelry, I've learned this lesson, maybe some of you men have. You need to learn this important lesson about buying jewelry for your wife. The jewelry your wife likes, you can't afford. And the jewelry you can't afford, she won't like. So just pray about that next time. But seriously, the four C's here. I want to give you these four C's. Number one this morning, we are created by God. We are created by God. Did you know our existence is not by accident? The life and the breath that you're taking is not happenstance. It's not randomness. There's a precision and orderliness to our universe and to your life, even though you might think it doesn't make sense. There's a precision, there's an orderliness in the universe that points us to an intelligent designer. I had a lesson this morning in our Sunday school app. You get a chance to watch it later. We're talking about anthropology and the reality that the Bible is the most logical explanation for our world. When you walked into the auditorium, you saw the chairs neatly arranged in rows. Did you consider there may have been an explosion in here that aligned these chairs in this order?
Never, never.
Or maybe some of you are pretty sharp, you realize someone would have had it probably organized this and lined them up with precision, measuring it, using the laser and all that.
He does.
You realize it took order, design. Listen, all of it points to the God of the Bible. Yeah. When you look around at the universe, when you look at your own body, it points to the God of the universe. The Bible teaches us God created us in his image and likeness. And that's a powerful truth the Bible tells us there in Genesis chapter 1. And that truth is the basis for universal human rights. That truth is the basis for justice and equality. Think about this. Evolutionism, naturalism, humanism, it falls short big time in this regard. Because if we are just random molecules that just happen to be in existence, then why does one life matter more than another? What? It doesn't matter if you kill someone, steal from someone, because we're just molecules, right? We're just accidents walking around. Some people ask, where is God? I need to see and examine God. Well, then I turn around and ask them, well, where is justice? Can you find that? Where is love? Can you put that under a microscope? See, these are things that maybe we can't touch and feel, but they're burning within our hearts because God wrote them there. He wrote them on the hearts of every man that you need to have love justice, equality, mercy. These are things that are not accidents, but our God placed them in our hearts. And it points to our Creator God. So racism, tribalism, classism, all types of prejudice exist when we fail to see that everyone has intrinsic worth. And God has given them that worth. Everyone has value. And so it's no wonder that when you study the origin of evolution, it's been used for the worst kind of prejudice this world has ever seen. A lot of people don't know that the complete name for Charles Darwin's his life's work, The Origin of Species, the complete title of that book is On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. And so on his hypotheses, men like Hitler, Stalin, and others considered genocide a way of having a super race. And you wipe out the inferior race because of evolution. My friend, only the Christian worldview properly explains why everyone, every human being has worth and value. Because we're all made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. We're all created by God. The Christian worldview best explains love, morality, justice. Again, these are things that you can't find in someone's DNA, but it's burning in all of our hearts. Points to our God. The Bible says God created male and female. There's only two genders, beloved. That's not a scientific statement. I mean, it is a scientific statement, but it's also a theological statement. That there are just two distinct genders. Amen. That's it. There's not 27 genders.
Amen.
As some people try and teach nowadays. There are only two genders, male and female. And there's a sense, when God said that man was made in his image, there's a sense that both genders together in completeness show the image and likeness of God. I think first in marriage we can say that. The union of a man and a woman in marriage is a wonderful reflection of God's desire, God's design. But even in our society, did you know men and women are different?
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We have different roles. We have different purposes. And when we live out our God-given distinctions and purposes, we bear the image of God in our society. And so God has created us. And that means also that I should be content with how God made me.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a world where everyone wants to change themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not talking about being healthy and that's a good thing, that's a wonderful thing, but some people go way overboard.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be content that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God gave you that nose. It's okay. Big nose, small nose. God gave you those ears. It's okay. Don't worry. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Someone out there will love you. But seriously, there needs to be this contentment that a lot of people, particularly young ladies, need to address and understand that God-given contentment. I'm made by the Lord. I don't have to change anything about me to please someone else. And so the reality that we are created by God implies that we are accountable to God. And that's really why people reject creation. They don't want to be accountable to God. They don't want to think about the fact that they have to answer to God. That means they belong not to themselves, they belong to God. They're supposed to obey and follow God, but they don't want to do that. But the Bible teaches, number one, we are created. But then number two, we have been cleansed. We have been cleansed. We were created, but in Adam we fell and we sinned. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By the way, there had to be a literal Adam for that to happen. But death and sin entered the world through the fall of man there in the Garden of Eden. So ever since then, man's biggest need, our biggest need, is to be forgiven and to be cleansed. That's our biggest need, is to have our sin dealt with. If you go to Romans chapter 3, the Bible describes our state, our condition, in a very honest terms. Romans 3 verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So we see that man's state before God is unholy, unrighteous, sinful. Man's greatest need is to be cleansed, to be forgiven. And unless we have our sins forgiven, we're going to be judged for those sins in hell. In Romans 6, verse 23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that's not talking about physical death. That's talking about spiritual death. The second death in the lake of fire. So our biggest need is to be cleansed. And the reality is, if you think cancer or COVID-19 or other illnesses, if you think that's bad, let me tell you, sin is far worse. Listen, it'd be far worse. It'd be one thing to have to be diagnosed with some virus or some illness, but it'd be far worse to stand before Jesus on the judgment day to hear Him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so many people now, they want to make sure their physical, earthly bodies are clean. But what about your spirit and your soul? Oh, you're washing your hands, but have you applied the blood of Jesus Christ to wash your spirit, your soul? Because God wants you to be cleansed. That's the good news, is that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has provided a way for us to be cleansed. And when you come to Jesus Christ, this is why Christianity is so incredible. When you come to Jesus Christ, the basis for your forgiveness is God Himself. Because you see, in justice, Jesus was punished for your sin and my sin. That was justice. We deserve God's wrath, but Jesus faced that for us. And in mercy, God is now able to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sins. I want to ask you a question. How many sins did Jesus die for? How many of your sins did Jesus die for?
All of them.
And so, how many sins does God forgive you of?
All of them.
They're all forgiven. So the Bible says that you are spotless. You are blameless because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've been saved, if you've come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, if you're depending on Him and Him alone as your Savior. And so you're spotless, you're blameless, you're clearer than any diamond. And that's why Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." So stop living in shame and guilt, because you've been cleansed. That's what the Bible says. You don't have to be living in the burden of your past, shame and guilt, because you have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Then thirdly, the third C is you are being crafted. You are being crafted. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit began a work. He began a work of crafting you into a new creation. You've been born again. And ever since that day you were saved, you're being sanctified. You're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And so this morning, are you with patience submitting to this process whereby the Holy Spirit is crafting your life? Sometimes we're not patient about it. We sometimes are too hard on ourselves, I think, and we need to realize that He's still working on us. We're a work in progress. We're growing in Christ. And sometimes we're too hard on others, too. You know that? I like the children's song that they sing, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be, because He's still working on me."
Amen.
He's working on you and me, and He's building us. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian, He's still working on you.
Amen.
He's still showing you areas that you need to submit to Him, that you may grow in Christ. As you endure trials, you may find yourself going through the fire. But just remember, that's part of the process to be refined, to be like that diamond, to have the beauty and splendor. You got to go through the fire. And that's what God is doing. Number four, you have been called. The fourth C is you have been called by the Lord, your rock. You have been called to serve Him. You have been called for a purpose, for a mission, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. You have a calling. And your calling, first He called you out of darkness into light. Praise the Lord for that. But He's also given you a new purpose, a new reason to live, a mission, and it's the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you study the Great Commission, it's not just preaching the gospel, it's teaching all nations. If you study it out, it's talking about making disciples. Your mission, my mission, is to make disciples. As you follow Christ, you ought to be bringing others into that relationship of following Christ too. And so here's the thing. Some people right now might be feeling inadequate or out of sorts because their normal routine has been thrown out the window. Some people aren't working. You haven't worked in months. You haven't had regular school in months. And so you might feel like your purpose is not there anymore. Maybe you were even tempted to think your purpose was your job. Listen, your purpose is not your profession or your occupation. Your purpose as a Christian is far more important than that. Mm-hmm. Your purpose can't be quarantined. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Your job, your mission to spread the gospel can never be quarantined, can never be overruled. And so you might think, there's nothing for me to do. Oh, there's a lot to do. Are there still lost people out there?
Yes.
You bet. Is our world still in need of Jesus Christ?
Oh,
you better believe it. So who are going to be the Christians that step up? Who are going to be the Christians that call up their friends and encourage them and share scriptures with them? Who's going to be the Christians that on their social media you're preaching and promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Who are going to be the Christian parents that you take this time to disciple your children? And you make disciples of your own family? You still have a job to do. I still have a job to do. Mm-hmm. We have this divine calling to make disciples. Make disciples of ourselves. Am I growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Maybe God can refocus our hearts that there's still work to be done. So these four C's of God, you've been created, you've been cleansed, you're being crafted, and you have been called. And God is our diamond. Mm-hmm. He is our rock, our foundation. And so don't be tempted to put your faith in false gods that will shatter, that will let you down under the stress and pressures of life. And if you've never been saved, then I encourage you to turn to the one who endured the heat of the fierceness of God's wrath upon the cross. He endured the pressure of being buried in a tomb, but like a diamond unearthed from the ground, He emerged from that tomb victorious over death, victorious over sin, and now He lives forever, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. Turn to Him. Give Him your life. Become saved. And as a Christian, determine to follow Him all the days of your life, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the rock who's stronger than all. And He's more precious than all. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You so much that we can depend upon You as our rock, as our foundation. And Lord, as we consider some of these attributes of what You've done for us, Lord, we rejoice that You are our Creator. And You created all that we see, all that we enjoy, and that we never forget that. Lord, thank You that much more than that, You've cleansed us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, You're crafting us to be new creations. And Lord, You've called us for a divine purpose. Lord, may we live that out, even this week. Help us to take our mission, our purpose seriously. Lord, I pray for anyone that maybe has been discouraged, that has lost their focus perhaps, that You would just do a work in their hearts. Maybe anyone listening has never been saved, never experienced that cleansing that only Jesus can give. I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I wonder if there's anyone that would say, Pastor, I realize this morning that I've never been saved. This cleansing of all sin that you preached on, that you mentioned, I've never experienced that. I have some doubts. I have some questions about my salvation. If that's you this morning, would you slip your hand up? I need prayer. I need to be saved. I wonder how many of us as Christians we would ask God to help us to be focused in our calling. All of us have been called for a purpose to share the gospel. I'm going to ask Brother Abraham to start playing a hymn of invitation. And maybe now we can just pray and ask the Lord to help us. Now is the time to get the gospel out, now more than ever. Right there when you're in your seat, you can rejoice and worship the Lord for being your creator, cleansing you, calling you, crafting you. We thank God for all of that. He's our rock. He's our guidebook.